Time to shift the focus towards next year, but you're going to see a running theme throughout the show this morning. Got a couple things we want to talk about. Want to talk about the war in Ukraine. Want to talk about Spain's election. Want to talk about everything up to and including border policy. We are joined right now by Fred Flights. He's with America First. Fred, welcome back, man. How are you?
Good to be here.
Glad to have you back on again. We saw an election in Spain, and we don't know the result of it yet. And I can't help but think ahead to next year and wonder, are we going to see something similar over here? What can we learn from the Spanish election?
Well, if you read the mainstream media, they're just going berserk that a very conservative party, Vox, was going to enter into the government for the basically this far-right party for the first time in 20 years. But they're not mentioning that there's a far-left party led by a communist called Sumer that is going to form a coalition with the governing socialist, the outgoing government. So if you look at what happened here, the Vox party got less seats than expected, significantly less. Neither the right or left have enough parties to form a government. But the conservative party's got significantly more votes than the Democratic parties. And I think it shows how the people of Spain are really tired of the far-left wokeness that is infecting European politics. Right now, nobody has enough votes to govern, but the conservative parties have 169. The liberal parties have 153. 176 is required to govern. The conservative parties are pretty close.
Fred, got to ask you about, you mentioned the term woke. Is woke the same thing in Europe as it is here?
No, it's much, much worse. Just to point out that the Liberal Party in Spain is a socialist party, and it wants to team up with a coalition of far-left parties that are led by a communist. So we think we have it bad here, but it's much further to the left. You have your rights are really going away in Europe because of these far left socialists who want to overtax the people, take away their rights, and push a progressive agenda.
We're talking with Fred Flights from America First. He's former chief of staff for the National Security Council as well. Fred, okay, so aside from the media's takeaway, what was your takeaway of how it played out?
Well, I'm not an expert on Spanish politics. I had heard that the Vox coalition, which is pro-life, it's close to the Catholic Church. It is strongly criticized a number of aspects of the progressive agenda. I thought they would get enough votes to form a new coalition, but that hasn't happened. So I don't know how this is going to be resolved. Maybe there's going to be a minority government led by the outgoing government, which would be unstable. And I think they had a minority government before. So I don't know how it's going to come out.
Yeah, it's interesting to see it play out that way. The whole, you need 176 seats to govern.
You need 176 to rule. The conservatives have 169. The liberals have 153. And there are some other minor parties. There's a Basque party. There's a party of the Catalonian. These are separatist parties. They may side with the left, allowing them to form a government.
And within that, though, it kind of speaks to the level of who can be pragmatic here. Who can forego like 10% of their own agenda to attract someone else?
I think that's right. And it looks like the left's not going to do that. For example, this far left Sumer party, they're pushing a 4-day work week. They're pushing a universal inheritance plan to give $20,000 to every young Spanish person. And they're crazy on climate change. And I mean, I don't think that the left is prepared to give up one iota of their progressive agenda,
which leaves them, I mean, leaves the entire nation in the lurch. Let's push pause on that and move over to the war in Ukraine, because there are two stories here that sound like they're not connected at all. But at the end of the day, there is going to be something that kind of rises up out of this. Where are we at with the war in Ukraine? Is this still going to be going on at election time next year?
Sadly, I think it probably is. Look, we all want the Ukrainians to win. This was a brutal invasion by Russia. It was completely unjustified. But I think there are an increasing number of members of Congress on the right and left who are saying this is going to be a long war of attrition. Mr. President, you need to put forward a peace plan or at least some plan for a ceasefire. because Ukraine will lose a long-term war of attrition. It looks like they'll make some gains in this current counteroffensive, but they're not going to get a significant breakthrough. Ukraine is running out of troops. Now, look, if they had air power, maybe they would be able to win this counteroffensive. I don't know. But the way it is right now, a grinding long-term war of attrition is not something that Ukraine is going to win. I think there'll be increasing pressure to try to find a solution. The problem is that the Biden administration and the Ukrainian government are dead set on peace talks or any ceasefire until Ukraine gets back all of its territory. And that just isn't going to happen.
Got about a minute and a half left with Fred Flights. Now, the reason these two are connected to me is because somewhere in the middle is going to have to be someone to carry strength and pragmatism. And I think that's where it plays back in to next year's presidential election. We've seen neither of those two things from our current administration. And I'm wondering, how long does it take before that becomes the overriding theme?
Look, I think President Trump has this right. No NATO membership for Ukraine. I hate to say that. I hope they get it someday.
Yeah.
But we have to find a pragmatic solution to get both sides to stop fighting, to come to the negotiating table, and resolve the territorial issues later. Promising that Ukraine will join NATO as soon as the fighting stops means Russia will restart the fighting as soon as it can. And I think Trump sees that. And I believe there are others in the political sphere in Washington. They realize that, too. Some of them don't want to speak out because they don't want to admit that Donald Trump is right. But on this one, he's absolutely right.
It's such a – like, it feels like it should be easy to sell, you know, to say, look, you're not getting into NATO, but the bombs are going to stop falling. That feels like it should be a no-brainer. And yet, here
and
we are.
And you know what? We could arm Ukraine to the teeth, short of NATO membership, to stop Russia from reinvading.
And we will watch this develop and play out in over the course of the next year. In the meanwhile, we got to hit news at the top of the hour. He is Fred Flights, former chief of staff for the National Security Council, now with America First. I appreciate a couple minutes, Fred.
Good to be here. Thanks.